Hello, curiosity seekers. Welcome to Dissecting Medical History. I'm Ange. I'm a travel nurse, medical history enthusiast, and your host. If you're looking for a storytelling formatted podcast with fun and fascinating topics on history and bios, then you are in the right spot. Please note this is not in any way medical advice. If you have anything that's ever discussed in any of the podcast episodes, please seek medical attention. Now, let's get this story started. Before we get started, I wanted to give a shout out to Rad Girl Creations. I know you like medical stuff, which is why you're here. I just placed an order with her for some enamel pins and a lanyard that has like crime scene on it, which I can't wait to wear. And she's got some decals. I ordered the Plague Doctor Mickey, and I ordered some badge reels that I can't wait to wear to work. She's got a lot of really cool pens. She's got one pen that's like this x-ray plate that changes different x-rays as it moves or as you look at it. So like one is a skeleton hand and one is like a skull. And then the third one is the chest, like a chest x-ray. She's got pens for different medical professions, like EMTs and dentists and doctors and everything. I mean, I even got a little pen that was for a travel nurse, which I thought was really cool. And she's really funny. She's got some really clever little things. One of them is a little taco that says, "I will trade medical advice for tacos," which I absolutely would. Check her out. She's at radgirlcreations.com. You can also find her on Instagram on radgirlcreations. Okay, now let's get on with the story. All right. Being that I'm now working in California, I wanted to do something related to the great golden state of California. And I did promise a few weeks ago that I would do a San Francisco-related story. So I present you with the biography of California's first woman to graduate from medical school, Lucy Marie Field Wainzer. With me today is a California transplant, Melissa, a nurse that's about to get her doctorate in nurse practitioner. Thank you again for being here, Melissa.
Thank you for having me. I always learn so much on these and I love to learn. So,
you know, I think all nurses are naturally wanting to learn.
You have to like to learn.
Yeah. You have
if
to.
If you're because, a nurse.
Especially since we're constantly, things change.
Yes.
You have to stay up on the latest and greatest ways of doing things. So you kind of, it kind of has to be in that nature.
Yes, definitely.
I use Dr. Elizabeth Blackwell a lot as a timeline benchmark. If you remember, Dr. Elizabeth Blackwell was the first woman to get her medical degree in the U.S. Mm-hmm. in 1849.
Okay.
In New York. But it took 30 more years before women could attend medical school in California.
Wow.
And this was so long as the medical schools were private. California is usually thought of as a forward-thinking state. But back then in the 1800s, women were denied admittance. It wasn't until 1874 the school Toland Medical College merged with the University of California, which is now UCSF.
Oh, okay.
That, which we're both familiar with.
We're very familiar with UCSF.
That women started being accepted, and they were coeducational. They had a coeducational policy mandating women be admitted. However, it wasn't like the floodgates were open and women were filling the classrooms. The first school at Toland Medical College, when they opened in 1874, even though they said, okay, we're opening, they still were denying admittance. And so I'm going to talk about Lucy's story. Lucy Wainzer, she was born in 1841 in Wisconsin. Her family were pioneers that transplanted from Massachusetts to Wisconsin. But after a few years of the pioneer life, they returned back to the city life in Connecticut, where they encouraged education, which was perfect for a girl who was dreaming to be a physician in a world that did not want women entering the profession. Her family was very supportive. And then in 1858, the family moved to California after Lucy graduated high school. But this time they went via a boat through Panama.
So I guess
that's an interesting way to get to California.
It's actually common back then.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because they were trying to avoid the West.
I guess it was dangerous to go across the entire continental U.S. at the time.
Just went through the Panama. It was actually pretty common to get to California.
Okay.
It almost was like.
It's probably a more fun way to get there. Here.
I was going to say, I don't know. I say there.
It wasn't like we're in California.
It wasn't like a cruise ship.
That's true. I guess we've talked about what boats and ships were like back in those days.
Yeah.
I take that back.
It wasn't quite the coffin ship, but it wasn't a luxury liner either.
Right.
So anyway, when Lucy arrived in Alameda, California, she began a career as a school teacher, teaching everything from elementary school to high school. I guess she had to take some exam and in order to do that. So I don't think she technically had more classes to take. She just had to do an examination.
Okay.
And to help support the family, she took a second job as a dressmaker. When she turned 23, she married a man named James Wainzer. So I guess her married name was not Wainzer. It was Field. I was calling her Wainzer before, but she was not a Wainzer yet. So she married this guy, James, and he, I guess, didn't last very long. They divorced 3 years later. Oh. I don't know what happened, but I do know she was very determined and had life goals. And
men back then couldn't handle that.
Well, not only that, but it was probably maybe. So I did another episode on Mary Walker, who got the Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was married in the beginning. She married a doctor. He didn't mind that she was ambitious, but she was so busy. He was cheating on her.
Oh.
And so I think they maybe not mind the goals, but then they're not around for their gratification or
they
have no time for the husband.
Yeah.
Whereas that's the kind of the mindset is the wife should be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do your thing, but you still have to be here for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know per se what happened, but I have read many stories where the wife was just a little just too ambitious and it just wasn't there for him.
Yeah.
But it could be very well that
got to have that work-life balance.
Yeah. It could very well be that he just didn't like the fact that she was ambitious.
Yeah.
But back then she was still just a teacher and a dressmaker. So, but she was trying to save money. And at this point, she didn't want to lose sight of being a doctor. So that meant she needed more money and more education. So she began earning more money by learning the business of a telegraph operator. And she set up her own telegraph office in the post office in the town of Santa Cruz while she was still teaching. And this happened to be where her father was the postmaster and he was the city's first mayor.
Wow.
And I'm not sure if she continued doing dressmaking, but I feel like she did because
she was a busy woman.
She was busy and every little bit would help the money.
Right.
Come in. So before applying for medical school, she took a variety of classes such as Latin, French, literature, and math.
Wow.
And she even went to school in New York City at a place called Trawl Institute. And I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it. So I don't know much about it.
Okay.
But she attended clinics and medical lectures there. She was trying to give herself all the educational ammunition to face the prejudice that she knew she was going to face when she started medical school. And she was not wrong. She was denied after applying based on the misconception that women did not have the intelligence or stamina to become a doctor and that women belonged at home. Yep.
I would not survive back in that time. I would have been burned as a witch or whatever they did with women.
With those feisty women, those crazy suffragettes.
Nope.
But she was told by one of the professors that the same thing. You shouldn't be. They should take your ovaries away. And she goes, well, in that case, they should take the testicles away of the doctors.
That's right.
She was feisty.
That's right.
I wish I could say that this is not a problem, though, anymore. I mean, there's still.
Yeah.
there's still a problem.
There is definitely still a problem. There are still a lot of people that think this way.
Yep. In my last career in construction, I was going.
I didn't know you worked in construction.
I did.
Oh.
I was going through the superintendent training when I got a new boss, and he told me straight out that I did not need to do those classes anymore, that women should just be answering the phones.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a chauvinist. And then later,
oh my God.
I ended up recording him.
Nice.
I ended up wearing a wire.
Nice. I love it.
I went to the, because it wasn't just him. I was like, okay, this is a side note. This is a crazy story, but I wore the wire, and then him and the president of that construction, mm-hmm. the housing, were doing kickbacks. They were taking trips and money for giving certain contracts to certain people. And I had proof.
Nice.
So I went to the regional president and I presented all of this. Nice. I didn't even go into like, he's a chauvinist and doesn't want me working in construction.
Right.
I just went and presented all of the illegal things they were doing.
Right.
And they found out that I had gone to the regional office mm-hmm. while I was supposed to be working, answering phones or something. I don't know. And
yeah, answering phones, being a secretary.
The president of the company called me directly and was like, hey, you have any problems that you want to talk about? I was like, nope. Oh, because we were at the regional office. Yeah, I was just doing some suggestions and blah, blah, blah. Well, I was really scared because he's like, well, if you're unhappy, then we're going to bring you. Well, by all means, don't be out in the field. We're going to bring you in. So he took me from building houses to filing in the office.
Wow.
So I knew my days were numbered and I was really scared. But they did. So I ended up getting an offer for another place from some guys that I had already known from working with. So I quit and I went to the other job. And then the president was fired. Yeah, I guess they looked into the matter and everything.
So they actually took it seriously.
Yeah, they did.
Good.
And he was fired. I, however, got blacklisted.
Really?
Yeah, because that president.
Oh, because they were probably all doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them did. There were some good builders, though.
Yeah.
There were some good guys, but some of them weren't. And I got blacklisted for those companies, and
that's really sad.
It really is crazy.
That's terrible.
But I went to a
good for you for bringing all that stuff to light. And
yeah, that was it was a crazy time.
Wow.
But the new job wasn't any better. So that president, I mean, I got hired on, but then the new there was a change in president. Not too long after I started. And he did not like women in the field.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So I had a secretary that told me to watch myself and that he was going to try to fire the three women that were working out in the field.
Oh, my God.
So I was constantly.
Was he threatened by them or what?
I just think he thought, just like the old days, that we're not smart enough to do all that. But I hate to I hate to say it, but it takes a lot more intelligence to be a nurse.
Yes.
Than it does to build a house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I believe that. No offense to anybody out there building houses, but
I think there's special skills you need.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of planning and scheduling and
but I'd like to watch all these guys go through nursing school. I'd love to watch that.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch to see how far they get.
But I think it was just the fact that they thought we weren't smart enough, and it was just, it's a good old boy system.
If nobody can see me right now, but I am rolling my eyes right out the back of my head.
So anyway, that's my personal.
We have a long ways to go.
We do.
Still.
We do.
Unfortunately.
It's very sad. But like I said, it's not over.
No, and, it's definitely
But it's not everybody. So
right.
I think it's definitely improved.
It's improving slowly.
But in certain places, like this was in Texas. It's still a good old boy system and
yeah,
can't always get away from it. But like I said, there were so many good guys that I worked with that had no problem with me being out there side by side.
Right.
Anyway, back to Lucy.
Guys that didn't have, you know, ego problems and whatnot.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Who still had big trucks, but were still okay with it. Anyway, Lucy, at the age of 33, ended up having a doctor on her side and helped her with the months of appeals. It took, I think, about 4 months to get approval. And the school was like, you know, we have this mandate. We have to let her in. You doctors need to put your pride aside. Just let
right.
her in. But not only was she hazed and had a miserable school life, the dean and the regent encouraged them to do it.
Oh, my God.
In hopes that she would drop out.
That's really sad.
But eventually she did win them over. At least the classmates started to respect her and treat her as an equal, became lifelong friends.
That's amazing, and that's really cool. But a lot of times in situations like that, there's no way to win over people like that because they're being irrational.
Nope. You just got to move on with your life and just realize they're ignorant.
Yep, exactly.
She graduated with honors, which I only read in one place. She graduated from the University of California Medical School in San Francisco.
Nice.
Making her the first woman to earn her medical degree, not only in California, but west of the Rockies.
Wow.
She specialized in gynecology and OB and pediatrics, which I think tends to be the obvious choice for women that end up in that field.
Right.
You know, like you have to fight your battles.
Yeah.
I'm sure she wasn't going to go into urology or something like that, where she'd be having to get a man naked and examine them.
Right.
It'd be more.
The wonderful thing is that I've done a little bit of time in the urology clinic where I'm at in my clinicals, and I've gotten to work with a female physician in urology. And, you know, she talks to men about their erectile dysfunction, about their prostate. She does prostate exams. And you know what? Everyone's like, hey, this is the way it is. You're a doctor. I'm the patient. And yeah. I think it's really cool. So,
yeah, I think most men, especially, I mean, when we're taking care of them, you know, especially when you have to do like a skin check.
Yeah.
Like, can I just look down your crack and make sure you don't have any? I mean, I know you're walking around and stuff, but I just got to make sure you don't have any. Yeah, that's always an awkward.
Yeah.
But most people are
it's
like.
It's awkward with anybody, though, even if you're a female.
I think it's more awkward for me than it is for them. They're like, yeah okay.
Right, exactly.
Pull down your boxers. So. And they're like, okay, here you go.
Yep.
Anyway, so that same doctor that helped her get into the school also nominated her for the San Francisco Medical Society, which caused such an uproar that they were going to blackball her. But with perseverance, they let her join, which made her the first woman to join the medical society.
Nice.
Dr. Wanzer opened up her first practice and had wealthy and prominent patients in the area. She was very active in the medical community, which also included the American Medical Society and the Women's National Medical Association. In 1890, she was elected president of the University of California Medical Department Alumni Society. Yes. Blah, that's a lot of words. She was a life member of the San Francisco Academy of Science, which she was a founding member of, and she was a founding member of the Children's Hospital.
Wow.
She was very proud of
Is this the one in Oakland? The Benioff?
I'm not sure what it's called
associated
now.
Associated with UCSF, or I think it is UCSF.
It probably is associated. It's, I think it was the first children's hospital.
Okay.
I'm not sure of in California or the whole country.
Right.
But it was the first, it said that it was the first children's hospital, but I didn't write it down because I wasn't sure first where.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming California, but it could be the whole country.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
She kept practicing medicine until she was in her 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, the other day I saw on Instagram, somebody posted something about this lady who practiced medicine. She was a doctor until she was 103.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Now, I don't know exactly.
I imagine she wasn't doing surgeries.
No. Her poor little hands.
Oh.
No. I don't know what she practiced. I don't know what kind of medicine. But she was practicing medicine, maybe part-time, I don't know, till 103.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, retire.
Take a break. Go on a vacation.
It's like Ruth Ginsburg.
Ginsburg,
she's just like, nope.
She worked almost up until the day she died.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So anyway, she kept practicing until her 80s, but she died at 89 in 1933. Okay, so since we have some time left, I'm going to tell you another story.
Cool.
Another Californian woman named June Hill Robertson McCarroll. I think when these women get married and then lose a husband somehow and then get remarried, they just put all
they just
the names.
Keep adding the names on.
They just add all the names, especially if they die and it wasn't a divorce. But anyway, June was born in 1867 in the mountains of New York. Because of the women before her, she was able to attend medical school, and she graduated in 1888. Nice. Upon graduation, she moved to Nebraska and became the doctor for the Nebraska State Schools, and she married a man named John Robertson. Because John had gotten sick with tuberculosis, she moved them from Southern California. She moved them to Southern California. Mm-hmm. They were on their way to Los Angeles when they came across a tuberculosis camp out in the desert of Southern California. A lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of desert in California.
Yes.
And my family, some of my family live in the desert, but the desert is huge. It is pretty huge.
Yeah, it is.
And it's not that far from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's kind of like on the spine part of California,
right,
between LA and Arizona. But so she ended up coming across this tuberculosis camp in the city of Indio, and the owner of the camp asked them to manage the 60-acre farm connected to this TB camp. So her husband, John, took the job, and June was going to retire from doctor life and just become a housewife. But instead, she was drawn into this camp and started helping out. The word got around, and others in the area wanted her to be their doctor. So I'm sure because Indio is so far from big cities that back then having this doctor nearby was like a godsend. So
even today, it's kind of like that. There's, you know, if yeah, you're out in a really far, rural area.
Yeah, I worked in Palm Springs, which is not too far from Indio. And it's still a good little drive. I mean, yeah, not too far. But they didn't have, a lot of them didn't have cars.
Yeah.
And it is pretty still pretty far to get. And it's such a huge area. And I'll talk about here in a second how much of an area she had. Mm. But she was going to have to get her California license because you can't just practice with another out-of-state license. So she did get her California license and asked and got it even expedited. So she was very active in the community and established a great reputation for being a good doctor. In 1907, the Bureau of Indian Affairs appointed June as the first white medicine man Indian doctor. Mm. So not only was she their first doctor, she was also a woman.
Yeah.
And she was then managing hundreds of thousands of the Indians on 5 different reservations.
Wow.
She did face a lot of difficulties in this role from not only the medicine men on the tribe, but the others in the community. They were weary of the white medicine. So June, she was known to be feisty and perseverant, and she let her skills do the talking. After a while, they did come to trust her. And the following year, there was an outbreak of measles that hit really hard. And with so much work to do, she taught the medicine men about quarantining the school children that were sick and how to treat them. There was a shaman that was very impressed with her and kind of let her in on the fact that the other medicine men were planning an uprising against her.
Oh.
But she was not deterred by this at all. She carried a pistol when she traveled.
Okay.
And she just went about her business caring for the sick and just gaining more admirers as she went. They called her Dr. June.
Dr. June. Nice.
Now, the areas that she was seeing were very spread out, and it would take days to get to some of the patients. So she was traveling by horse and buggy and railroad hand car. I could just see her.
So those are real things, like the things they show in the cartoons, right? Where they're pumping, yes, the little thing up and down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
I don't know if someone else was doing it for her or she was doing it the whole time.
She's
for
doing
days.
It herself.
I'm not sure how.
She's a really buff lady.
That was, yeah, just to think about that is like, yeah, it was really funny. but she was, and she would come prepared. Like she was like the Girl Scout of the medical world. She came prepared. And there was times that she had to perform surgeries right in the patient's kitchen.
Wow.
She probably had to do a lot of MacGyvering because.
Yeah. You know, on a submarine, the only place that they have to do surgery, at least from what I've learned, because my husband was on a submarine, they do it in the, like, where they eat. If they have to do surgery on board, which I think is a really rare occurrence.
I feel like that would be a very clean area, though, because aren't you always sterilizing?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, like, you're always trying to clean up and just re-sterilize.
Maybe that's where they got the idea from. Well, from this doctor
that,
doing
surgeries in kitchens. Table. Like the big table.
Yeah, there's a big table. So it makes the most sense, I guess.
Right. I mean, I guess you could do it in the bedroom, but a table's higher.
Mm-hmm. It's easier to clean, that's for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's true. Anyway, then to make her life even busier, she was asked to be the doctor for the Southern Pacific Railroad after the physician quit because they knew of her reputation. Hmm. As if that was not enough, she also founded the first library in the Coachella Valley. It started out just from her home because she wanted to keep the TB patients from getting bored, yet she wanted them to rest. So she would have the books rotated out every once in a while so they had fresh reading material. So she petitioned the state of California in order to get an actual library.
Oh, that's nice.
For Coachella Valley. In 1914, June's husband died. June ended up remarrying, though, 2 years later to a man named Frank McCarroll. He was a station agent for the railroad. And yeah, so they got married. As more physicians moved into the valley, that was helping June's caseload, and she got to go into semi-retirement. And she used her time to do more volunteering in the community, and she joined various clubs.
Nice.
In 1917... June was driving her Model T Ford. I guess she finally got a car.
Nice.
But she was forced off the road by a big ass truck and he would not budge out of the middle of the road. Aww. So she found.
Sounds like a California driver.
Yeah, right. She found that this was not the first time. And even though she rode in, and even though when she rode in her horse and buggy, they would still be riding in the middle of the road and they wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can. I mean, that seems more dangerous than a horse and buggy.
Yeah.
To be faced with cars. But she noticed an increase in automobile accident injuries. On a newer portion of the road, she saw that there was a raised area in the middle that was supposed to help drivers stay on their side of the road. This triggered an idea in her mind to paint stripes. Uh-huh. Down the middle of the road to prevent accidents.
Nice.
She went to the Riverside County Board of Supervisors and the Chamber of Commerce, but after hearing her out, they said, oh, we'll think about it indefinitely. But maybe because they knew it was going to be a costly idea,
yeah,
they just were like, no, anything that takes money really needs a lot of convincing.
Yeah.
But taking matters in her own hands, she painted stripes in the middle of the road in front of her own home.
That's awesome.
And I read that there was two different accounts of this. One that she got down on her hands and knees in a long dress and painted 2 miles of stripes.
Wow.
And I saw a picture of her. It was like on a patch with this lady down on her knees painting stripes on a road. And
that's dedication right there.
Yeah. The other story was that she used baking flour and did a mile long stripe.
Oh.
I don't know how
baking flour. I feel like that wouldn't stay.
It wouldn't
for a
stick.
Long time.
But maybe it was like a composition, like somehow it was baking flour and something else to make paint.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because obviously that wouldn't.
I guess you can use flour as glue and paper mache and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
that's
so maybe
true.
It's more versatile than.
But then doesn't it dry more clear?
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't believe that story.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
I think she actually used regular paint. I don't know why she would use flour. Anyway, June also started writing letters and petitions to the county and the state to start painting stripes on the road. She did this for 7 years.
Wow.
And did not get anywhere with it. And then she had an idea. She put together an Indio Women's Club, which got support from the county and the state federations of women's clubs. And then she had thousands of women to back her up. She once again petitioned the state of California to paint the damn roads. So in 1924, the legislation passed, because they're not going to fight all these women, to mandate that all roads and highways in California be painted with dividing stripes.
Wow. Was that the, so was California the first place that got those?
Yes.
That's awesome.
This might have been the biggest patient safety advocacy by a doctor ever.
Yes. Wow.
Except outside of antibiotics and vaccines.
Well, of course.
she stayed active in the community until she died. However, I could not find anything about her death. It's kind of strange. And there's no records of her medical records from all the time she worked.
Oh.
They're all missing.
Weird.
Uh-huh. Thought so. They think she died around 1954. But the community did not forget her. And in her honor, part of the highway is named Dr. June McCarroll Memorial Freeway. And that was in 2002. And then there is a big old 6-foot concrete pillar in Indio with a plaque that's dedicated to her. And that was done in 2003.
Cool.
But
have you seen these things? Have you been on that highway or seen the sign or anything?
I never pay attention.
Yeah, I don't
either. To the signs of her memorial. But no, I don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But I think that's amazing. That's like, that's a great thing that she's done. And she was a good doctor.
Yeah.
But she was a feisty, strong woman.
She was kind of a doctor and a nurse all rolled into one, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of was the nursey type. She was like a nurse practitioner type.
That's right.
So anyway, she was able to leave her mark on the world with stripes down the highway.
That's awesome.
Bum, bum, bum.
So that's where those came
that
from.
That was a joke. Okay. Anyway, that's the story of two amazing women from California. And as promised, I'm...
from two amazing women from California.
One's a transplant. I was born here. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here, Melissa. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's mental vacation from your current life. If you did and are curious for more, please subscribe. Before you go, if you have anything to add to today's show, or you have a topic that you think is worthy of dissection, please reach out on dissectingmedicalhistory.com or Instagram on dissectingmedicalhistory. Thank you, and stay curious.